Amen. We are in the book of Luke, the second chapter. Our text verse are going to be verses 13 and 14. But last week, I used as a text verse the verses above. So I'm going to go ahead and read those all the way through our text verse. And the angel said unto them, and it was the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, glory and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." This time, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today, thankful for the opportunity to gather together with one another and to worship you. And we're just so thankful that you sent your Son. And as we celebrate his birth this morning, Lord, we're just so thankful for the gift that you gave us through his birth, but also his death and burial and resurrection. Lord, just ask that you be with us this morning as we consider your word, and that we apply it to our lives, Lord, that we may be better servants for you. And Lord, we especially ask that if there be any that do not know you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will convict and they'll come to know you as their Savior. So thankful for all you've done for us through Jesus. Forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. Ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Last week we talked about the announcement of Gabriel and to the shepherds, born this day a Savior, and then they went and saw the babe, the baby there, with Mary and Joseph there, wrapped just as the angel had promised. But this morning I want to consider the part where it talks about, and then after that message, this is a sign laying in a manger in a food trough, and then there was this host of angels. It says a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, glory to God in the highest. And the Latin is, and we're going to sing that song, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, which literally means glory to God in the highest. And we're going to talk about that this morning in the context of God's glory and our peace. It's interesting, at the birth of Christ, there was a lot of activity from the standpoint of angels. There's also in the life of Christ, there's a lot of activity. Angels, he was there after he was tempted. He was there when he prayed in the garden. He was there at his ascension. I'm sure I'm missing a few. But angels ministered to Christ at various times. They knew who Jesus was, right? So Jesus was in heaven before he ever came here. So some of the activity that we know of is to Zechariah foretelling John the Baptist's birth, that he will be the forerunner, that he will tell of the Messiah, of the Christ. And then John, when he saw Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Angels appeared to angel appeared to Mary and to foretell the birth of Christ. This is before she was with child. And then also to Joseph, also to foretell the birth of Christ. And then to the shepherds, and that's what we're looking at this morning, to proclaim Jesus is born. Today, a Savior is born in Bethlehem. Christ Lord born in Bethlehem. So these angels, it's kind of interesting. The Bible talks a little bit about these angels in Hebrews, there's a comparison of Jesus to the angels. Isn't he better than the angels? To which of them did he ever say, you know, you're my son, sit here on my right hand? But it says this of angels: are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And so we don't know exactly what angels do today, but we assume they are ministering. You know, the Bible says be careful entertaining angels unaware. And so the angels were ministering and came and ministered heirs of salvation unto us as human beings, told Zechariah, told Joseph, told Mary, told the shepherds, ministering, telling them about salvation, born this day a Savior. It also says there in Hebrews, the second chapter, for if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, in every transgression, disobedience received a just recompense award. But their word was steadfast. Why could we trust their word? Well, it says that the angels were sent directly from God with the message. They knew exactly what they, Gabriel, who was the ones who gave this one who gave this message, knew exactly what he was told from God. Peter gives us a little interesting glimpse into the angels and says, unto whom it's revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are not reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. This is the part I want you to get. Which things the angels desire to look into. So it's interesting, we have opportunity to have salvation, forgiveness of sin. We sinned, we had a free will, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. One rule, right? One rule too many. They just couldn't handle it. We have a right to choose. That's how God made humanity. Angels aren't like that. They're different. And it's interesting, it says the things preach the gospel unto you. Angels have a desire that they're curious, and I think they participate. They're ministering, right? Ministering unto us. It's interesting that in Luke 15, the parable of, I think this is the parable of the coin, but we have the parable of the sheep, we have the parable of the coin, and then we have the prodigal son. In each one of those, we find that there is rejoicing after one repents, right? It says, I say unto you, there is joy in heaven in the presence of God's the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I think that's probably some of the things that they desire, they participate in. They rejoice with the Lord and everyone else in heaven over things that are happening here on the earth, those that are obedient. Just a little bit of information about these angels that came and proclaimed the message, but also sung this interesting song. And so there appeared not only an angel, Gabriel, right, made the initial announcement, but then there was with the angel, Gabriel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Now, some have tried to define what this is. It's really an undefinable number. It literally means an army. And over in Revelation, there's a verse in Revelation that talks about angels, and it says 10,000 times 10,000. Somebody who's good at math know what that is? It's 100 million, okay? You know how I know? I have a calculator, okay? And then it says, and thousands times thousands. So you take 100 million and then you multiply it by thousands of thousands. In other words, you can't count it. And so there was this heavenly host. Now, that was a very specific thing that happened in Revelation, that 10,000 times 10,000. But we get the idea that this is a large group. This is an important announcement that God is making. And so it's kind of fascinating about that. I think I have So this announcement, glory to God in the highest, in the Latin, we sing that. We're going to use that as an invitation. The Greek is the second one down. I can't read Greek. I just thought I'd put it in there. English, if you translate it directly, it means glory in highest God. But when we translate it and put it into English, we can understand it is translated glory to God in the highest. And then the rest of the message, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And so it's kind of interesting, this message of the angels in heaven, right? This is where the angels came from, and it's just kind of fascinating to me. We get two glimpses into heaven. One is in Isaiah the sixth chapter. Isaiah got to see, after King Hezekiah died, he gets to see into heaven. He gets to see the throne of God. And there are these different kinds. There's two specific kinds of angels described. One, I think it's the seraphim, if I have that right. It has six wings, and two that it uses to fly with, two it uses to cover its face with, and two to cover its feet. I don't know why, but they are beings that are worshiping God. What they cry out is holy, holy, holy. And that's what they're doing. And then they come and they are worshiping. When they come and give this song, and it says, the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And that's the vision that Isaiah saw of these angels. The Apostle John in Revelation 5 verse 11, he said, I behold and lo, heard voice of many angels. Again, doesn't define them. There, round about the throne. So the throne is where God is, and this is where Jesus is seen as the Lamb that has been slain before the foundation of the world. And the beast and the elders, and number of them, it's right here, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. So 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million. Then keep multiplying. So there are lots of angels praising the Lord, saying with this loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, honor, and glory. What did they come with the message there at the birth of Christ? Glory to God in the highest, right? This glory thing is really important. Jesus said that... he prayed in John the 17th chapter. I don't know if I have this verse. There's a lot of verses about the glory of Jesus. I had to narrow them down, so I'm sorry. But one of the ones, he says, Lord, glorify me. And he says, I have and I will. So it's really interesting, this glory thing. There's probably 20 great verses about Jesus being glorified, and that glorifies God the Father, right? And so that's what we're talking. And these angels are saying glory, honor, and glory. That's what they are said in heaven. And that this is future tense, right? And this is what they said that day to the shepherds, this huge host, this army. That's what this host means. Heaven's army. What I'd like to know is how many angels were there. I'd like a number. But I'd like to know then how many angels were in heaven, right? I don't know. I'd like to know how many angels there are total. But it's just kind of interesting when you think of some of those numbers. Verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under earth, and such are in the sea, and all of them, all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor, right? Here's the glory again. And power unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb, Jesus Christ, right, forever and ever. Here's the verse. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Remember John the 17th chapter? This is when they're going from the upper room to the garden, and in the he's telling them about John the 14th chapter, he says, I got to go away. And John the 15th chapter, he says, gives him the parable or the lesson of, I am the vine, you're the branches. Then John 16, he talks about the Comforter coming. And then here, it's a prayer, if you look at verse 1. And I don't know if he's walking or stops. I don't know how that works. But this whole 17th chapter is a prayer. We looked at this just a few weeks ago. And he prays, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You know, this new, this Jesus coming and the angel saying, glory to God in the highest. This isn't a new bestowing of glory upon Jesus. He already had this glory. I think sometimes we forget when Jesus is born, we forget there is a before the birth. I preached a message once, BC, right? Before Christ. Before Christ was Jesus in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. And even there, Jesus had glory. And God the Father had glory. And that's what the angels there are proclaiming. And there's a really interesting story. Remember, Jesus says, go and you're going to find a man who's going to have a colt, and you tell him that that his Lord has need of him, and he'll just give him to you. And they're like, are you sure? And it worked that way, right? So they go get him. Now, this is the last week, and he's getting last week of Jesus' life, ministering in Jerusalem. And they brought him, this is the colt, to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt to kind of use it as a saddle. And then Jesus sat thereupon. And as he went, as he's entering the city of Jerusalem, they spread their coats in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, descending down the Mount of Olives, and from the Mount of Olives, you can see the Temple Mount. So Jesus, they would have been able to have seen the temple. You can actually see into the temple area there when you're on the Mount of Olives. And you come down, and there's a little valley or a canyon, and then you come back up, and it's about a quarter mile of a walk. And so they're descending the Mount of Olives and entering, and there's actually a road there, a Roman road at the time. And the whole multitude of the disciples, now this is, I think, many, all males above the age of 12 are together in Jerusalem for, this is the Passover, right? And so many, many people. And when they came, they would bring their families. And so Jerusalem has thousands upon thousands of people here. And Jesus had gone and preached in many cities, and many people had been saved, right? And so they're all there now, and all of his disciples. And they see Jesus, and they begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Now, who are these people? These are disciples. Now, that are doing this, throwing their coats down, and they're saying to Jesus, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven. Now, what did the angel say? Peace on earth, right? But they're repeating this idea. And what does it say here? Glory in the highest. They are worshiping. You think that's what God wanted when the angel said, glory to God in the highest, that we should be worshiping Jesus Christ? Exactly, that's what he wants of us. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Jesus, make them stop. They can't do that. They can't say that. And he answered and he said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, should not praise the Lord and give glory unto God, the stones would immediately cry out. Matthew says God would rise up stones to give glory unto God. But it's interesting, the wording here is almost exactly what the angels say. And then Jesus goes on and talks about this glory. And so we see that glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that God is going to receive glory through God the Father, through Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, what this is at his second coming, and all the holy angels with him. That's interesting. It also says he'll come with the saints, right? Kind of interesting. Sometimes we forget, not only will he be coming with his saints, but he also, there will be some angels coming with him. Then shall he set upon the throne, what does it say? Of his glory. And this is talking about when he'll set up his millennial kingdom. So we talked about glory to God, which is this newborn Savior that Jesus was, this glory that Jesus was to bring. Now, this isn't new glory. Remember, he says, bless me with the glory that I had before when I was with you, right? So this is the continuation of God's glory, but showing it here to us so we can see. So, and then it goes on and says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So what about this peace on earth? Now, it was 2,000 years ago or so that Jesus came. Do we have world peace? If this is the peace that's going to come because of Jesus Christ, boy, I'm disappointed. How about you? But that's not what it's talking about. And I think that's really important. But on earth, peace, right? But it says goodwill toward men. So this is talking about charity, giving us something that we don't deserve. This is the grace and mercy of God. And it said that this angel and what they said, and we're going to talk about this peace on earth. On earth, peace, and the charity toward men. The question is, what kind of peace on earth brings glory to God? People getting along with each other, or people getting along with God and each other, right? Peace on earth, just the nations being okay. Some people believe in what is called an amillennial, and that we are going to get so good and so nice. I don't believe this, but that we're going to get so good that we're going to bring in the kingdom of God ourselves, that Jesus doesn't have to be here for that. 2,000 years and we're not getting better. If anything, Joel talks about in the end times, sin's getting worse and worse, and it talks about the days of Noah at the second coming of Christ, the sinfulness that man has no regard for God. Talks about the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so We're definitely not getting better. So then what about this peace? It's interesting, the promise, Isaiah 9 verse 6, and I love this verse, for unto us a child is born. Isaiah is writing obviously to Israel. Unto us a son is given. What an incredible gift, right? And then it goes on and ascribes who he is going to be. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And there's great things we could talk about there. But what I want to look at is the Prince of Peace. And if you look at the word prince, it doesn't mean like son of a king. We can interpret that. But what it really means is captain, or the author of, one who is the controller of peace, the one who is over peace. He's the one that's bringing peace. Without Jesus, there would be no peace. So he is the prince, the captain, the author, the originator, the giver of peace. And it's interesting, we as humanity, right, we know verse 23, we'll start there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And isn't it interesting that it talks about the glory of God, that we've come short of God's expectation? Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus meets that glory. John says we have beheld him, the very glory of God. Seeing Jesus is seeing the glory of God the Father. And we've come short of God's expectation for we're sinners. And then look at verse 17. The way of peace have they not known, right? So I wonder if this peace on earth is more talking about a relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, and I don't have it on the screen. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You know what reconciled means? It means to make right. There are times, sometimes when Joyce and I, we are not reconciled. And when we are not reconciled, there's not peace, right? And other people know when there's not peace, right? If Joyce and I are not right, other people will say, ooh, what's going on there, right? So it's like, and so we are not at peace with God. We're dead in our sins. We are sinners. We have sin. We're separated from God. We need to be reconciled, made right. And then it goes on and talks about, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself. Verse 20, be ye reconciled to God. It talks about this reconciliation, the way of peace, having peace with God, having peace with anybody, without Christ, without Jesus as our Savior. And then it goes on to say how we can have peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the peace, I think, that it's talking about, being reconciled with God. And then there in 2 Corinthians 5:18, when we're reconciled with God, then we can be reconciled with one another. John talks about, he writes in 1 John to some disciples, and he says, you know, you say you love God. I'm going to paraphrase. He says, you say you love God, but you don't act like you love one another. And if you don't love one another, you don't really love God, right? That's the point. And so not only 2 Corinthians 5 talks about to be reconciled with God and to be reconciled with one another. If God can make our relationship right in a vertical sense with God, he can make our horizontal, our relationships right. We can be reconciled. We can have peace with God and we can have peace with one another. Ephesians 2 verse 14, it's not on there, but it says, for he, Jesus Christ, is our peace. That's how we have peace. As children of God, we should have peace within. Peace with God, peace with one another. Jesus gives peace. That's how we get this peace. And there's three different groups that I just want to talk about that can have this peace that Jesus Christ gives. First of all, the saved. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. He declares her, go in peace. You can now have peace. You're saved. You're reconciled with me. You're reconciled with God. The second one is those who exercise faith. Jesus gives peace to those who exercise faith. And he said unto her, and this is the woman who had issue of blood. The first one was the woman who washed Jesus' feet at Simon's house. The second one, Luke 8, is the woman that come and touched the hill of his garments to be healed. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Kind of interesting, the declaration there that Jesus makes. And then the last one, Jesus speaking to his church, he says, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you, peace I give. And it's kind of interesting, when Jesus was with his disciples after the resurrection. On the day of the resurrection, he was with them. And he says on two occasions in the upper room, he says, peace be unto you. And then the following week, when Judas shows up again, he says, peace be unto you. So to experience this peace, we first have to be saved. Then to experience, we need to continue to serve him. And this is the kind of peace we find as we are obedient to Jesus through his New Testament church. In closing, how do we partake in the glory of God and experience God's peace? Well, we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. And to experience God's glory, to bring glory unto him, says glory unto Jesus Christ through his church. There's other places it talks about us through our life of obedience bringing glory unto God. We have to first know him as our Savior. Philippians 2 verse 11. If we have the pianist and song leader come, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we confess and acknowledge, accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that brings glory to God the Father. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, the preaching of the gospel, to obtain to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. So God made this announcement by the angels, glory, peace on earth. How are you doing experiencing that? Do you know Christ? Are you being obedient? Are you serving him the way you should? What page you have for us?